out, Loretta and Miss Paula and all of them are going to grab you to get you to sign up for the 5K. All right? So I was thought I was through with this sermon series, and I was going to go in judgment-free zone. But I've been in Africa for the past 2 weeks, and can I tell you what? It has opened my eyes to a whole lot of stuff. They kept asking me when I left. They said, you'll be back next year. I said, I don't lie. I ain't going to lie to you and tell you I'm coming back. I can't say that I'll ever go back, but it opened my eyes to stuff that I never imagined. There's a big world outside of where you live. There's a big world outside of what you experience. And the Lord showed me, he said, Jason, every region that you're living in deals with something. How many of you are not from the Tennessee area? How many of you that are not from here will be honest and say there's some things that you have dealt with since you've been here that you don't deal with in other places? When you go to other places, perhaps you live in the northeast part of the country. We speak to everybody here. You speak to somebody up there, they're like, what do you want? If they don't like something, they'll tell you they don't like it. In the South, we tend to be passive aggressive. We allow to say yes in your face, and we ain't got no intention on doing nothing you said. We're not going to confront. We're going to tweet about you. You're all right? We're going to post about you. That's in every area that you're dealing with, we deal with various different things. And that's what I want to talk about today, how to defend home territory. If you got your Bibles, go to Psalms 115 and 16. And I want to share some things that God shared with me on my trip, if you guys don't mind. Psalms 115 and 16. Y'all talk back to me this morning? All right. The Bible says this. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. So heaven belongs to God, and he put man on the earth to dominate just like he would in heaven on the earth. That's why we pray the Lord's Prayer. Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thine kingdom come, thine will be done on earth as it is in. So God put you here on the earth to dominate. I don't know about you, but I am enamored by movies. One of my favorite movies is American Gangster. Any Frank Lucas fans in here? I love Frank Lucas. Frank Lucas had a product, and he brought all his family in from Mississippi, and he brought them in, and he bought some property. And he established himself. Whenever you get ready to do anything, you establish and you take territory. So he took territory. In New Jack City, they took the Carter. And that's where they ran their empire out of that. Whenever you get ready to do something, you establish territory. If you look at gangs across America, I lived in Chattanooga for a while, and they had a housing complex. And you guys know when they started to tear down the housing complex, that these were gang-related. So now they moved them to a certain area. You didn't know who was what, and they created all this chaos because now you have crime created because now you used to have them separated. They're living on the same block. If you're from, like, the West Coast or whatever, you can go in one street and it's Crips. You go two streets over and it's Bloods. Why am I talking about this? Because the enemy sets up territory wherever he goes. God works the exact opposite. He uses you to establish territory here in the earth. Why do you think Satan fights you so when you get ready to do something new? Because he knows when you establish, when you buy a new home, when you get a friendship, when you get in a new relationship, you are taking ground for the kingdom of God and you are snatching back from him everything that he thought he had. Why do you think heaven rejoices when one person gets saved? Because you're taking somebody from the kingdom camp. Can I talk to anybody here that's just glad they're saved? Do you not know that when you got saved, Satan got upset with all his people around him? And that's why heaven rejoices and says, we got another one. So God is trying to take territory in the earth. Any Vols fans in here? Any Vols fans? UT Vol fans in here? I want you to take this sermon and you can send it to them and tell them how to defend home territory. So if heaven is God's and earth is the Lord, heaven and earth is ours, we have this challenge because you have truth in heaven and you have reality on earth. And your truth and reality has to be married, but faith closes the gap between what God says in heaven and what you're experiencing here on the earth. Heaven says I'm healed, but earth says I'm sick. Heaven says I'm prosperous, but earth says I'm broke. Heaven says we're united, but the earth says we're divided. How do I close this gap? It's called faith. Faith, praise thy kingdom come, thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's why God needs you. He brings heaven into earth through you. But here is the challenge. We have this enemy called Satan, and he tries to take territory from you. For those of you who feel like you're called to business, you Anybody in here believe in God? Do you not know why, if you're single in here, why Satan does not want you to get married? Because when you get married, you take territory from him, because now you're going to raise godly seed. You're going to produce the kingdom of God in the earth. So he's going to fight you with every fool and joker you can meet. So that you don't establish kingdom territory in the earth. You got good friends, and you wonder why are we such good friends, but our friendship is tested? Because every good thing, Satan's going to fight it, because when you are good friends, spiritual friends, godly friends, they can pray each other through, you establish the kingdom of God on the earth. So Satan is going to fight friendships. He's going to have you looking at each other crazy. He don't care if you're friends with a fool. He don't care if you're friends with a joker. He's after godly relationships. I don't know who I'm talking to in here, but your friendships have been tested. Your tried and true friends. Now, y'all looking at each other strange. I want to tell you to guard the integrity of your relationship, because together one can chase 1,000. Two can put 10,000 to flight and say, no, we're going to stand together in the name of Jesus. Here's what it does. Ephesians 2:2. It's on the screen. It says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you were formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Satan is the prince and the power of the air, and he is fighting you for heaven not to get to you. The craziest thing happened to me when I was over in Africa. I just thought about this. We were in this church, and the sound system kept messing up. And the pastor said, stop, we're going to rebuke Satan, and this sound system is going to work. I'm like, I don't know if that's Satan. Because buddy ain't been at the board in a minute. He ain't paying attention. He looking over here, doing all kind of stuff. He said, no, it's the enemy. Satan is the prince and power of the air, and he does not want our voice to come out clear. He wants everything to be staticky, where you cannot understand. We're going to take authority over this atmosphere, and the word of God is going to come forth. Y'all, that man prayed. Monitors stop ringing. Microphones start working. That little praise team stopped moving 90 miles an hour. They were singing to the glory of God. He said, what we did is we grabbed control of the environment. Some of you work in hell. Some of you live in hell. Some of your homes are full of mess. And I dare you to walk in here and say, Satan, this is your last day. I'm taking control of the environment that I live in the name of Jesus. Y'all right in here? He's warring in your homes. He won't let you sleep at night. He's tormenting you in your dreams. He's messing with you. He's telling you all kind of things about yourself. It is time for the kingdom of God to stop being timid, to stop sitting back and let the enemy torment us, and said, no, I am taking territory for the kingdom of God. You got kids, go home when they ain't there. Lay hands on their doorpost of the house. Lay hands. Say, I don't know what you're doing in here when I ain't in here. I don't know what you're texting, and I'm too old to be running up behind you everywhere you go. But I command in the name of Jesus, you're going to try to drink and you ain't going to get drunk. You're going to try to smoke and you ain't going to get high. You may get sick as the dickens, as they say. I'm believing God. He's got a hedge of protection around you. I'm believing God wherever you go, you're going to hear every word that I've spoken to you. Why? Because I'm taking control of the environment, because Satan is the prince and power of the air. But I believe in something greater. You all right in here? He says this, Ephesians 6:12. He says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Look at your neighbor and say, I am not your enemy. Matter of fact, just challenge them. Tell them, I dare you to go a week without talking about a hater. Don't post about a hater. Don't pray about a hater. People are not your problem. There is a war against you, and it is assigned to your life. Do you not know that Satan has certain things assigned to you? That he tried to destroy you through that molestation when you were young. He tried to expose you to things before you were ever imagined. You young, and you started to develop early, young ladies, and you had older men hitting on you, and you had certain things happen. He was trying to turn you out at a young age because he knew you were going to get 20 and 30, and you were going to be somebody's mama, and he wanted you to be a shell of who you are, so you don't trust anybody. You're suspicious of anybody. He's been trying through rejection. He's been trying through sexism. He's been trying through racism, through all of these things, trying to not get you to trust, because he saw the day that when you were finally walk in your purpose. He wanted you to be in the land of plenty, but he didn't want you to enjoy it. It's a shame to be where God wants you to be, but you can't trust nobody around you. It's a shame for God to bless you, and now you paranoid, wishing, thinking somebody trying to get you, somebody after you. He's been setting you up your whole life. But I come in here today to break every curse over your life. I come in here to tell you, I don't care what you've been through, what you have experienced, Satan will not have you. I come against every warfare over your life, every negative word that has been spoken, and I declare you will live and not die. But let me teach you where I'm going. Have you ever wondered why every time you got ready to do something good, it seemed like Satan always fought you with something? The very first house we bought together, I thought everything was great. And the guy came in and says, do you not know you got something on your credit that has not been taken care of? Anybody had a roommate before? And I thought he had took care of some stuff, and he had not taken care of some stuff. And I was dealing with that, trying to move forward. Every time you get ready, watch this. You're single in here, and God's going to bring a new boo. He's going to bring somebody great into your life. In that moment, you're going to think, you're going, God, is this the right person? You know why you're going to question it? Because he's going to bring about every joker from your past. They're going to search you on Facebook. They're going to go through friends who know you're their friends, and they're going to send you DMs. He's going to torment you with every experience you've ever had, and you're going to think, God, am I doing something wrong? Can I tell you, the battle is not because you've done something wrong. The battle is because you're making forward progress and he's trying to pull you back. But you need to tell him, I'm taking territory in the name of Jesus. But notice this. Every territory deals with something different. Every territory. When you're down here, you're worried about somebody breaking in your house or certain things. We have some murders and stuff like that. I remember when I moved to Philadelphia and I asked my neighbor, I said, how safe is it around here? He said, you have your occasional murder. Occasional murder. Where we live at? This is just occasional murder. To them, it's not anything. Somebody's house get broken in, you don't bother them. Don't touch them. Let them be. We like this. Somebody fighting. You in there filming and stuff like that. Every region has something different that they dealt with. I never dealt with depression until I moved to East Tennessee. And I'm wondering, what in the world am I just feeling like this for? Yeah, I opened up the door for it and all these things happened. But every region has something assigned to it that you deal with. And you got to know the region that you're living in and what it is that you're dealing with. I'm going to give you four things that every region deals with and how to overcome them in the name of Jesus. We deal with them in different ways. The first thing is racism. Every region deals with racism. It's where one person thinks they're better than another because of the color of their skin. And some stuff ain't racist. Some stuff is preference versus prejudice. We deal with oppression, where you have no hope. There are things that happen and you have no hope. We deal with poverty. Poverty says there is not enough, and it creates this less than or settling mentality. And we deal with religious battles. Let's talk about racial battles we deal with. Here in America, I have to admit, I was very sheltered when it comes to you talk about racism. Because you think about racism, you would think about white and black racism, that we don't like each other and we stand divided. Until I went to Africa, and I saw the corruption that existed black on black. Where it was not just about the color of your skin. It was about socioeconomic status. We were sitting at the red light, and the police was there, and he pulled the guy over that I was with, and he began to harass the guy that was driving us. And the light turned green. He said, you can go on. I said, what was that all about? He said, it's lunchtime. He was trying to get money from me so he can go down the street and get lunch. We think racism is just about a color. It's human nature for one person to try to dominate over another one. When you really understand what Satan's trying to do, you won't see it as just black against white, against Hispanic, whatever. It happens in every culture, all around the world, and it has to come down in the name of Jesus. Anybody want to see racism in? You also deal with oppression. Oppression is where you have no hope. It's introduced through constant rejection, through systematic opposition, through failures and mistakes. Oppression attacks your confidence and your authority, where you begin to render yourself helpless. Can I give you a classic example of this? I have several people that I know who have gone to jail. They go to jail, and now the system labels you a felon for the rest of your life. You have fines that are just are just crazy. A lot of them have kids. Now I got child support. I got fines I got to take care of. And now I'm going to try to get a job. I would love to get a job making $18 to $20 an hour, but I cannot get that job because you don't hire felons. You're going to send me back to the place where everybody I went to jail with is at. And you're going to pay me $8 to $10 an hour and expect me to take care of all these kids. Yes, I made a mistake. And you're going to expect me to pay all these fines, and I am left with nothing. And I got to look myself in the mirror and say, do I have to pay for this for the rest of my life? And now you have no hope. And you come to the church and the preacher's talking about God to bring you out, God to rescue you, God to do great things. And he's sitting here saying, or she's sitting here saying, you don't know the fines that I'm facing. You don't know the no's that I'm getting. You don't know the rejection that I have. And you're oppressed. Yes. Y'all didn't say amen to that. Amen. Single ladies, can you say amen? Amen. God's going to bring you a husband. And every no good joker that ain't got no job, no car, they want to sit at home and smoke weed, play PlayStation, and eat cereal all day, want to move in with you. And he was raised by a woman, so he know how to talk to you. He know how to caress you. He know how to say the right thing. Oh, he made me feel so good. He know how to do all that because he was raised by a woman. But the moment you challenge him, you ain't my mama, because he does not know how to operate in the system, and you feel oppressed. And you're looking at somebody else married, and you say, where are my options? Somebody say, no hope. I'll get where I'm going. Then you got poverty. Poverty is where you don't have it. You don't think there is enough. Poverty is different in America than it is where in Africa. I saw these little six-year-old kids with these yellow buckets walking down the street filling up water. They didn't have running water inside their house. They lived in dirt floors. This pastor, he brought a bunch of pastors in for this conference, and he had like 20 mattresses in a room. And he said, I got the pastor sleeping in here. I said, in this little room with a little mattress, this little cot? I said, why not the hotel? He said, this is better than where most of them live. He said, most of them live, they sleep on a dirt floor with just a rug, or a blanket. I said, Jesus. And we complained about a lumpy mattress. I don't like this pillow. Got my neck hurting. You all right? I'm looking at my, I ain't got nothing to wear, and that's 20 dresses looking at you. It's different wherever you go. Somebody tell the truth. So it's different wherever you go. But here's the reality, a poverty mentality. I'm guilty. I repent right now. I'm guilty. I've been riding around for a year with a cracked windshield, and it's free to get it fixed because I'm too lazy to take it in and call the people, and they'll come where you are and fix it. They will. They'll drive out here to the church while I'm sitting in there working on the computer, and then I'll walk outside, just going to be fixed. But a poverty mentality says that's enough. You won't challenge the status quo. It'll let you know that it'll tell you that the struggle is all right. But I want to tell you in here, is there anybody here want to break the poverty mentality over your family? A poverty mentality says this. A blank person can never do this. A woman can never do this. And it tells you there's limited opportunities because you got barriers, and you'll deal with a small-minded mentality and won't even know it. You'll go outside of your number. The coolest guy I thought when I was in school, boy, he could fight. He'd just fight just because he wanted to fight. He'd always win. And he went off to school and lasted a semester. And I found somebody that went to school with him. I said, hey, man, what happened when we went up there? He said, man, he was hurt all the time. He didn't really want to play. He pulled away from everybody. Here's what I found out. He was cool in his circle, but he didn't know how to operate outside of his norm. Many of us, when you put us outside of what we're comfortable with, we try to reduce everything to what we're comfortable with. It's the poverty mentality that says there is not enough and I can't be me everywhere that I go. And it's also judgmental. Why do you want all that? What's wrong with what we have now? What's wrong with working a 9-to-5? What's wrong with doing this? But somebody here said there's more to life than that. There's more to life than clocking in the morning and clocking out at night. There's more to life than just figuring out where we're going to eat. I'm called to do something great. Another battle we fight is a religious battle, and it hinders growth. Every region fights a religious battle. I was riding down the road with one of the pastors in Uganda, and they didn't have kitchens inside the house. They cooked outside. They had these huts with straw roofs on them. And one was small. And I said, hey, man, that's a smaller kitchen. What, they got a little mini-sized kitchen or something like that? He said, no, that's where the witch doctor lives. I said, oh. He said, that's where they make sacrifices. I said, can you speed up? This is the crazy part. This always happens to me like this. I had to tell him in the first service, but the man walked out the front door right when he was driving by. I said, speed up. There he is right there. He said, we want to buy this whole street. He said, you afraid of the devil? I was thinking, yeah. No, we say stuff for real. I've been in churches and I brought people with them and they said, I want you to praise God so that the enemy gets upset. And this brother sit down and said, he been messing up folks' lives for years. I'm not messing with him. And I'm sitting here thinking, am I afraid of the enemy? He said, no, we want to see him saved. We want to see everybody on the street saved. We want to take it over. We running from stuff we should be running to. We in here singing, sing, oh, barren land. He's a great God. And as soon as the enemy, you think something move in your house. Oh, they're the devil. You can have this house. No, you walk in that house. This is the day the Lord has made. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I ain't afraid of no devil. Oh, the devil messing with your family. Where is he at? Where? Some of you, before you got saved, you were fighting, you were cussing, and now you done got saved and got timid. No, I need that same boldness. I need that same courage to stand up and say, devil, you have messed with my family long enough. But here is the challenge. They deal with witchcraft. They deal with stuff like that over in Africa. In America, particularly us in the South, this is the Bible Belt. Everybody go to church. If you don't go to church, your grandmama went to church. Your daddy went to church. You think you saved because your family done served in that church your whole life. And we create this religious turf wars. And we say stuff like, I'm Methodist. I'm Catholic. I'm Church of Christ. Oh, don't fool with me. I am Church of God in Christ. You can't join in. You got to be born in. Hand clapping, tongue talking, Church of God in Christ. Well, I'm apostolic. How did you get baptized in Jesus' name? That ain't right. You need to get baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we arguing over stupid stuff, and there's a world out there that ain't studying church. They're not studying your titles. They don't care who's leading the song. They got so much stuff going on in their life, they just say, I want God without all the drama. And this religious battles have created this thing where we call stuff weird that we should accept. People were raised a certain way. I've seen people who were raised in a certain affiliation. And I watched, there's no disrespect. I had a person that was raised Church of Christ, and they were raised a certain way. And they were taught that speaking in tongues stuff, that crying, that stuff is weird. Don't ever get a part of that. And I watched them being in a broken state, and we were praying, and God was touching their life. And they were surrendering to God, and they stopped. I said, what's wrong? Oh, no, I can't do this. My whole life they done told me, this stuff is weird. No, I can't even get involved in this weird stuff, this goofy stuff. No, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. I said, but you were experiencing it. Here's what happens in religious battles. We'll call stuff weird we should be accepting, and we'll accept stuff that's weird. It's weird for me to lift my hands and worship a great God. It's weird for me to pick them up and put them down and shout. It's weird for me to tell God thank you, but it's okay to twerk. It's okay for you to just bump up on somebody. It's okay to smoke one when you feel like it. It's okay for you to go in 10-degree weather in a football game. Take your shirt off and paint yourself green and fight for a team you don't even play for. They making millions. You making $12 an hour at the Coke factory. But you'll fight over that. We'll call stuff weird we should embrace. All because of our religious battles. But at the end of the day, God said, is there anybody who just wants me? You can find me in the Methodist church. You can find me in the Baptist church. But at the end of the day, I don't care about the formalities, because when you really want God, you don't have time to say, my omnipotent Savior. You don't have to say, God, I love you from heaven to earth. You are wonderful. You are kind. You are a bridge over troubled water. You are omnipotent. You are omniscient. You are everything. No, when you're in trouble, you just say, Jesus. That translates in every language. That makes demons tremble when you just lift your hand and say, God, I'm Jesus. I need you right now in my life. I may not understand everything, but I'm at a point and place in life. This may not be what I'm through with, but God, I just want more of you. But these religious battles where we can even go to the other end. Some of us think we ain't had church unless you fall out and slobber, because we don't equate church with learning. We don't equate church with discipleship. And you've been picking up, turning around so much you dizzy. I want to know, when you stop spinning, where you going to go? Oh, did he preach this week? I felt him. What did he talk about? I don't even know. All I know is he was there in the room. Jesus up in that place. They said, did you catch the spirit? I wonder, how can you catch the spirit? Did you throw it back after you caught it? The spirit lives in you. It abides in you. It leads, it guides you into all truth. These are battles that we face. I don't mean to sound like I'm fussing. But we face these battles and we go nowhere. And God said, I want you to take territory. How do I overcome these battles? Number one, you got to choose love over racism. Romans 8:35 says, who will separate us from the love of God? Of Christ. Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Let's get down to verse 37. It said, but in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer them through him who loved us. Somebody say all things. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels, principalities, things present or things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor any created thing, that covers the whole basis, will separate us from the love of God. Love creates an experience for you to engage where walls come down. Hate drives things further apart because you don't understand. And I am guilty of seeing something. It triggers me and takes me to a place. Chaplain Sanders and I went to this men's retreat, and Chaplain spoke. And, man, they love Chap. And, man, there was this guy in there. He was a big Chaplain and I were the only two black guys in there. It was all white guys. And this guy in there had a rebel flag on his shirt. And immediately it triggered something inside of me. I was like, uh-oh, what's going to happen today? When Chap was preaching, this dude was like this. He was on the edge of his seat. I said, he think Chap Jesus. We got ready to leave, and Chaplain said, I'm going to stay. I said, Chap, I got to go home. He said, I ain't never shot skeet with a gun before. And I said, all right, you can stay. I said, how you going to get home? He said, somebody will take me. I said, oh, Mama Lisa going to get me. I saw a chap the next day. I said, how'd you get home? He said, you remember that brother with that rebel flag shirt on? He drove me home, and we had the best time ever. We were laughing. We were talking. Do you not know there are certain triggers in your life that will shut you down from experiencing some of the greatest relationships you ever met? That triggered something inside of me. And I said, I was thinking, chap, did he take you the long way home? Did you meet any of his buddies? All this fear started rising up inside of me, and it did not have to. When I tell you, when you walk in love, ignorance comes down. When you walk in love, it gives the, I don't care if you are dealing with it. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't know about you, but I am anointed for unity. I'm not anointed for division. I will call stuff out in a minute, but God wants us all to walk together. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what gender you are. If you're African-American, I don't care if you're dark skin or bright skin. I don't care if it's your hair or you bald it. I don't care if you got lashes. I don't care if you got nail or you decide to go bald head. I don't care where you're from. We are all one. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say racism has to go. I feel like Malcolm X. I'm not a Muslim, but when he went to Mecca, he had an experience where he saw more than black Muslims. He saw Muslims from all around the world. And he tried to come back and tell his people, y'all, it's more than us. I feel like that with y'all, but BFF, there's more than black and white. There's more than Hispanic. There's more than this race stuff. There's a God that's bigger than all of us who wants us to come together and in the face of division stand together and say we are together in the name of Jesus. We don't see things the same. The person I live with, we don't agree on everything. She shook her head before I got out my mouth. Eric Dill and I are great buddies. We don't see things the same. We don't have to. Unity is not unison. You ever notice when you walk, your arms go different? You ever try to walk and your arms going together? It creates balance when you got stuff going different. Both your feet can't walk together at the same time. Unity is not the same thing. It's different things that decide to walk together in the same direction and said, if God be for us. That makes sense in here. You got to choose Jesus over religion. Mark 2:22 says, no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the old wine will burst the skins. Wine is lost in the skins as well. But one puts new wine into fresh experiences. Through generations, God is looking for new wineskin to put his oil in, to put his presence in. Jesus came to introduce something new. But here is the challenge. Many of us are trying to preserve history instead of pursuing God. When we first got started, somebody, they were upset of how we did communion. And they said, I got to talk to you about this. This bothers me. They said, where is your table with your white cloth? Where's your white gloves? Nothing wrong with this. If you do that, don't attack me afterwards. Like, where's your white gloves? Where's your robe when you do this? And I said, we don't do it. We do it to praise and worship. And I was thinking, do you know how Jesus did communion? They were sitting reclined, shoes off, leaning back. They were pinching bread off. They ain't had little crackers. They had a loaf of bread. They spread around. They drank out the same cup. We got a different little cup for y'all to drink out of because some of y'all don't like germs. And they spread them around. And he said, you can't talk out the communion. You do know Jesus told Judas he was going to betray him. And it was right after that time. We are so busy trying to preserve tradition that we don't open ourselves up to a fresh experience from God. And half of the stuff we preserving ain't even in the Bible. Somebody made it up. You know why I heard this one church put a white cloth over their communion? Get the flies out. Nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. Didn't make it more anointed. Don't bubble up. Nothing like that because it's anointed. I was riding on the road one day when we lived in Nashville, and I was coming out Old Nashville Road, and I heard a boom. And I looked in the field, and I saw these men dressed in suits, the soldier attire. And I rolled down my window, and I figured out what they were doing. They were reenacting the Civil War. And the Lord said, Jason, that's what some people were doing. No disrespect what they were doing. He said, that's what we do every Sunday. We reenact what we've heard and what we've never experienced. He said, I don't want you reenacting what you heard your mama them did, your daddy them did, what he did back. I thank God for Moses and his Red Sea, but I got a Red Sea. Thank God for Daniel and his lion's den, but I'm dealing with the lion's den. I'm like Janet Jackson. What have you done for me lately? He said, I want to be fresh. I want to be present in your life. And there's some of you in this room who hadn't really felt God in years. You had an experience before, and you're riding off the momentum of what God did. But I'm telling you right now, God wants to do a new thing in your life. He wants the pages of the Bible to come open to you. He wants your prayer life to be strong. Somebody say, now. Somebody say, choose Jesus over religion. Then you got to choose covenant over poverty. Ephesians 1 and 3 says, blessed be the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. My covenant through Jesus Christ gives me access to whatever I need when I need it. I don't have to rob Peter to pay Paul. I can break every poverty mentality in my life. And I don't know who you are in here, but some of us have been dealing with generational curses. You've been dealing with small-mindedness. You don't even know it's small-mindedness. And you got to realize this. Think about this. Every impoverished area that you have seen, there's one thing that is always prevalent, and it does very well in those areas. Guess what it is? And it never gets robbed, the liquor store. If the liquor store can do good in your neighborhood, don't you think you can? And it didn't have to move out to do it. You can transform where you are through the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants to transform communities, but you have to have a mindset that says, God, whatever you have for me, I will embrace it. Last thing, and I'll close with this. You got to choose freedom over oppression. The opposite of oppression is submission. Oppression demands submission. Many of you in this room have dealt with addiction. When you deal with an addiction, whether it be drugs, alcohol, pornography, your ex, or whoever it is, that addiction will wake you up in the middle of the night. It will be, it's like Chris Rock said in New Jack City, keep calling me, man. Like, it's embarrassing. No, the struggle is embarrassing. You can say, God, you come to a fiery church service, I'm through with pornography. And back in the day, you know, you get on your phone now, and they had VCR tapes. You throw the VCR tape away, and in the middle of the night, you remember what it is. You go digging through the trash and get it. You all of a sudden, you find you done deleted that number from your phone, and now you got a way to go back in your history or find out how to get in touch with him. In the middle of the night, it just wakes you up, and it's embarrassing. It demands submission. But I know the guy who can break oppression in your life, and his name is Jesus. When you submit to God, there are two things that happen. Number one, submission teaches you how to live above oppression. Excuse me. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Somebody say learn. Somebody say learn. Somebody say learn. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Submission teaches you how to live above oppression. Some of us need to learn the art of not knowing, because you are limited by what people told you you could not do, the limitations they told you were around you. You know they're going to fight you when you do that. You know, you got to be twice as good as them to get that position. And now all these barriers have stopped you, and people who don't know barriers can move into your area and do stuff you never thought would imagine. Why? Because they don't know. One of the best jobs I had was open for a year. I applied for it, got it, and loved it. And people were coming up to me and said, you like that job? You like that boss? And I was like, yeah, am I not supposed to? Nobody wanted that job. Nobody wanted to work for him. There was only one problem. I didn't know that. And because I did not know, I had an incredible experience. I didn't walk in with any preconceived ideas. The problem is our preconceived ideas are robbing us from really hearing what God wants to do in our life. I heard about her. Do you know her? No, but I heard about her. I heard about that church. Do you know them? No, you don't know them kind of people. You never experienced them kind of people. You got to learn to what you should not know and learn what you should. Because some of us are talking when we should be quiet and quiet when we should be talking. And then you got to learn what you should know to move above it. Darius, if you guys can pull up my video here. The next thing submission does, it leads to authority. James 4:7 says, submit yourself to God, therefore resist the devil and he will flee from you. The last thing I'll tell you is this. When we were in Africa, we went on this little safari thing. And they had Simba walked across the road. We had to stop. Monkeys, just leopards everywhere. And they said, we got a black rhino. You want to see it? I said, yeah. We drove to where the black rhino exhibit was. And the brother said, I'll be back. I said, where you going? He said, I'm going to go get it. You going to go get a rhino. I don't know what y'all do over here. He jumped the fence. I said, this joker jumping the fence, go get a rhino. He walked in this field. And I said, Stephron went with it. I went with him. I said, this ain't going to go good. I was expecting to see him run. He going to smack the rhino and just run back. He was gone for about 10 minutes. I said, I think that rhino done got him. It done got him. I knew he shouldn't have went out there. And this older gentleman showed up. He said, y'all waiting on the rhino? I said, yeah, I think he got your buddy. He said, it's all right. I'll be back. I said, what are they doing? These folks looking for rhinos. They went, and y'all not going to believe what happened. Look what happened these jokers did.
These men told us they were going to go find a rhino, and they went and found a rhinoceros with some tree limbs and made it come up here. This is not happening. These jokers went and found a rhinoceros. These men.
These jokers went in the field with a stick. You know how much rhinoceros weigh? You know how big they are? And he's just walking slow and they walking behind him. Then he said, you want to pet him? I want to pet him. I got a 1 second touch of a rhino. You know what happens when you submit to God? Stuff that you were afraid of starts obeying you. You start walking in dominance and you quit running from stuff and you start placing order in your life. These kids driving me crazy. No, I'm about to drive them crazy with the love of the Lord. I'm going to get this house together in the name of Jesus. I can't stand this job, but the anointing is going to show up tomorrow. And everybody was acting crazy. They're going to know what's going on, but the glory of God is about to show up. I can't sleep at night. You're not taking one pill. You're not sipping one bottle of Benadryl. You're going to go to bed tonight, and you're not going to be tormented in your sleep. You're not going to worry about dying early. You're going to tell Satan, no, I'm going to have sweet sleep in the name of Jesus. He telling you, you're going to die like the rest of your family have. You're going to get the sugar. You're going to have that. No, it may try to come in my body, and I may die with it, but I ain't dying from it. You're going to start tormenting the thing that torments you when you walk in submission to God. No fear in the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet all over the building. I need you to be honest with me, every head bowed, every eye closed. If there's some stuff you're dealing with in your life right now that is running you and you're not running it, if you're a parent in here, I got a 12-year-old, so I'm going to speak with humility because he ain't hit his teenage years yet. And you feel like your kids are driving you nuts, like nothing you're saying is, I feel that in here for parents, is breaking through. There's a switch that's about to happen in your house. The anointing is about to break. Satan is trying to destroy them. He's trying to tempt them with pleasure for a season. But God's going to give you their heart. He's going to give you the attention of your children. In the name, he's going to break the hostility in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you now. In the name of Jesus, you're going to see immediate change. Your words are going to have weight in them. love is going to prevail. In the name, Satan, you will not have our children. You will not have our young men and our young women. Snatch them now from the hands of the enemy. In the name of that combative thing that you were feeling, that rebellious thing that you were feeling, I come against that now. Every manipulative, lying spirit, in the name of Jesus, we break it in the name of every rebellious spirit, every arrogant and haughty spirit that is luring them out of the covering and protection of their parents. We break it now in the name of Jesus. And you will not be tormented that they will experience some of the things you experience. God is going to put the influence of you back in your family in the name of Jesus. I'm just going to pray over this now. Every person that's dealing with a generational curse, whether it be in your finances, whether it be in your health, it is broken now in the name of Jesus. You will not die from that. You will not spend the rest of your life struggling. All of the anger, all of the hostility that you're dealing with, release it now in the name of Jesus. God, show us who we are. Show us our covenant. Show us our power in the name of Jesus. Now, God, I'm going for the enemy now. I come against racism. I come against it right now in the name of Jesus. I come against ignorance. I come against every word that we speak that is wayward, every joke that we tell that is not edifying. I come against it now in the name of Jesus. Forge relationships in love that give the enemy a black eye in the name of Jesus. Let the gospel prevail. Father, diversify this church with people from all walks of life. We may not see things the same, but we walk in the same direction in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that we win the war over racism. We win the war over oppression. We win the war over poverty. In every religious battle we're facing, and then break it. I'm speaking to somebody in this room, you are not cursed. The things you're going through, yes, you done made some mistakes, but you are not cursed. Jesus took your curse on the cross. What about the fight is about you moving forward, and Satan wants you to stay where you are. But God wants to let you know that I have redeemed you from the curse of the law. I have made all things new. This is your new day. This is your new season. Walk in your righteousness. Don't you accept less than. Father, as I close, break small-mindedness. You want us to establish territory. Everything in us that would settle and not pursue what you placed on our heart. We want to live a life in submission to you. Break it now. Break small-mindedness and open us up to a world beyond what we ever imagined. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can you do me a favor? Just worship God all over the building. Some of you, you're in a war right now. Satan's trying to pull you back to an old life.
You're making ways in the wilderness.
Here's how I know he's trying to pull you back. Because what's good is boring to you. What's healthy is boring to you. And what is toxic to you seems appealing. Switch. In the name of Jesus. In the name of switch. Switch it. Break every wayward way. Break every destructive way. In the name of Jesus. We thank you. We have victory. In Jesus' name. Amen.